Hello, good afternoon. I'm no saint. The halo you see above my head is a fraction of the light on my bald head. But grass does not grow on a busy street, and you, sir, know that. And so do many of you more. I just had the opportunity to sing for you one of my favorite songs from the musical Man of La Mancha, and the song is called Don Quixote. In some respects, it's very similar to my life. Some of you, too, have had your own special challenges. Many of you may be struggling at this present moment in time. All of us will continue to do this as we try to reach new heights in our professional lives, but more importantly, greater happiness in our private lives. I recently reflected back on that vignette you've just seen, and it started me thinking, where did that spirit really come from that has allowed me, a young man with physical challenges, reach heights far beyond what a boy could ever dream of doing? How have I been able to put so much into my life in such a short space of time? Well, there's two reasons, really. Belief of others in me and continued encouragement and reinforcement of that same belief. Belief in knowing that I would succeed irrespective of the challenges that I was about to face in my life. This belief, love and encouragement from my family and my friends developed positive attitudes within me that just could not be shaken. And growing from this came the opportunity to live life to the absolute full, encouraged by all around me. But learning from this, to succeed in what we ever do in life is not a solo flight. We all need someone. You heard my sister, a most wonderful woman. You saw my parents. My father was 5'4". My mother was 5'4½", and wore high heels when she was a little angry with him. I stand in front of you today, 6'4", 280 pounds of raw beef, but ladies, I'm adjustable. I can be any height you want. So if you want a Great Dane, I'm your Great Dane. But if you want a Jack Russell, I can be him too. You glimpsed my musical and medical mentors. They had one thing in common. They never pushed, but they always supported. When I attended school, Fiona used to always get concerned about the teasing that I was inflicted with and how badly it made her feel. See, Fiona was my shield and my support. But of course, being Irish, she could feel badly enough for us all. That's the one great thing about the Irish. We're fantastic in times of difficulty. We're the best people to hang out with. We'll stick with you through the whole process and enjoy drinking. When it's over, that's another story. You see, the teasing words did get to me, but they didn't stay with me because of the love of Manny, but most importantly, because of the words of my father, who used to always say, "Ronnie, you're great." What a mentor he was. People who mentor become a battalion of inspiration. Mentoring does make a difference. It's the helping hand, and it shapes and influences our lives. Many of you today are sitting beside people who have mentored you or whom you have mentored. I say to you, this truly is one of the greatest gifts the man above has bestowed. Early on, I transcribed that great message that my father said, and I'd look in the mirror. Now, it's not that difficult when you're as handsome as I am, and I'd say, "You're great." If you do this often enough, you really do believe it. You see in yourself what other people see in you, a strength waiting to be harnessed. God gives us many talents, and sometimes you just have to open your eyes to see the two beauties. They're perpendicular to my head. Many a cosmetic surgeon thought they should be adjusted. These two babes got me down to play the last five in Broadway for Shrek. That's not funny. And I'll explain to you at the final part of my program how I achieved that. You see, I was able to focus on what I have and not what I want. And this focus opened up realms of possibilities that were there for me. But most importantly of all, it freed up my mind. So if you're not doing it, tomorrow morning get up, look in the mirror and say, I'm great. You know, the luck of the Irish doesn't have to be reserved for the Irish all the time. And for those of you who are Irish out there, you know exactly what I mean. You see, if we focus too much on what we want all the time, we can end up dissatisfied quite a lot of it. Life can only be learned from by looking backwards, but we must live it going forwards. There is no reverse gear in life. In my wild teenage years, believe it or not, I was a jockey. I know you're looking in amazement thinking, how in the name of heavens could a horse carry him? Well, I referred early, I'm adjustable. I would go into the jockey's enclosure standing at 6'1" and come out 5'2". Yes, science has a lot to do with it. Well, my father in 1976 was the tremendous benefactor of £7,600, courtesy of the bookies not believing on the real thing. You see, I used every aspect of my physical, mental and spiritual strengths, and I ignored my weaknesses. And that's what we all need to do, build on our strengths. My father would stand in the middle of the track so as that I was in peripheral view, that when I'd come to a fence, he would raise his leg. And as I would go over it, he would go over with me. He rode with his spirit. It always worked. My mother, the reason I stand in front of you today is because of that great woman. A powerhouse, an amazing woman, possibly a Renaissance woman well before her time, but had belief in her own son who has a challenge, and she brought him to where he is today. She, of course, prayed a lot when I raced, never looked at me, but always worked because I always returned. I dared to ride in that race in the wonderful Grand National that's in Liverpool and ride that big fence, Beecher's Brook. I still aspire to do it, but I'm not so sure that there's a horse that can carry me. When you win gold or achieve success, as all of you have done here, always remember those people who saw your talents and wanted so much for you to succeed. We all have long lists, those who supported us and even gave us that extra shout of encouragement when we needed it. I know that's what has always helped me to continually reach further. All of us are ordinary, God-fearing people, but we can be recognized for doing the extraordinary. And that's what's making us great. And that's what's made you as a family, Alltech, great. I often recall the joy both my parents would show when I would achieve in any aspect of sports, academia, or medicine. You've got to understand, my father was a small little man, very demonstrative, and hug you to death. The funny thing is, from the moment that I could understand the word, you're great, he said it, and continually said it until the day that he passed. When words like this are said with such love and such meaning, you really do believe them. So my message for you today is, don't be slow in giving or accepting encouragement. You have no idea the benefit it reaps. At every stage of my life, this encouragement and support has allowed me to live life to the absolute full. Looking at the way my life has started and the turns and twists that have occurred in it, I can now see more on the endless possibilities that are there for me. Just think about this. I might never have become an athlete of any significance with two perfectly able-bodied limbs. But with the limbs that were designed for me in 1984, I ran the 100-meter sprint in 13.6 seconds. This was quite an achievement for a man at that time. I believe in the fact that my challenges have made me take risks far beyond what I could ever have dreamed of doing. But I believe the biggest risk in life is not taking risk itself. I've also discovered another thing. When you focus more on what you have in life, you get so much more from life itself. And the biggest gifts of all our fulfillment and happiness. There is no doubt in my mind, life is driven from inside you. And when you focus on being happy internally, it seeps out through your very nature. People gravitate towards you because they sense an inner peace with you. And that truly is a great gift. In 1980, I had both my limbs amputated. And as always, I had my concerning sister worried about how I would manage and hoping that my friends would be there to lift me up the stairs. But what she didn't realize was her strength and support, my family's love, and my friend's hand were there when I needed that help. They gave me that extra lift, that extra shout of encouragement that revealed a great message to me. Not that I can do it, I will do it, and I'm doing it right now. You see, one thing I've learned about us as people, we are not all equal in abilities, disabilities, choices that are forwarded to us, or our backgrounds. But if we concentrate on the task at hand to the best of our ability and to the best way we know how, then we truly have given our 100%, and no more than that we can ever do. I had two amazing parents. I had a father who was obsessed with love in giving me everything, selflessly doing everything he could to make my life richer. I had a mother who was extraordinary, and there are not adjectives to describe the greatness that she had. They did one thing. They explained that having a physical challenge is like driving in a Formula One motor race, or as you know in America, a NASCAR race. You have to drive several laps, but at some stage you have to stop to get wheels changed and oil changed or whatever it is. Well, in the Formula One motor race of an amputee, at some stage you need new limbs. So you get in, you get measured, you get fitted, and then you go. And it's gear 5, forward motion, no look back, off you go. He explained another thing. He said, Ronnie, you've got to blaze a new trail because that's your style. And I know everybody in front of me has blazed amazing trails. But one thing I would say to you, in blazing that trail, you receive so much help along the way. And I think all of us should learn to be gracious and humble in receiving that great help and encouragement from wonderful people. People who recognize your talent and want so much for you to succeed. What an amazing gift they give. When I was training for the Olympics in Korea many years ago, a very famous Irish discus thrower used to watch me throw the discus out in a field. Now, the field I trained in was used for recreational walks after a hard day's work. So when I started throwing this projectile around the place, quickly these people perceived that this guy has no idea the direction or the trajectory of this item. We better give him a wide berth. And quickly also Bernie realized that if I don't help him, he'll either kill someone else or he'll destroy himself. So Bernie offered me help, and I was grateful for the help. And to teach me how to glide across a discus circle, he started teaching me how to waltz. And in 1984, in that field, the Irish public were privileged to see two grown men waltzing together. You might laugh. They frowned. But of course, we're now in 2011, and no one minds who dances with anybody these days. Well, eventually I succeeded. And Bernie told me, you'll win the gold, Ronan. You'll win that coveted medal. And I said, why do you say that? He said, you not only have the will to win, you have the will to prepare to win. And I've learned that's what winners do. They have the will to prepare and polish and prepare some more and polish some more. They never become complacent. It's not just enough to prepare. You have to believe with your heart and your soul that it's there. And I know from my experience, this will is inside us all. And when you capture it, it brings the finest from you. The encouragement from all those people that year gave me tremendous inner strength. Success came like no other. I not only won the gold medal, but I broke the world record 6 times. I threw 38 metres further than anyone had ever thrown in the world. This record still stands today. As I walked out from the enclosure, the discus enclosure, I was immediately escorted to be drugs tested. I couldn't wait to give them a sample because I knew I was clean. And more importantly, I was finally being recognised as a true athlete. I rang my father from Seoul and he was overjoyed and emotional. My mother was right beside him on the phone. Now, one thing you've got to understand about my folks, my mother never let my father out of her sight. He referred to her as top management or she who must be obeyed. It always worked. I could hear her, "Edmund, let me talk to him." So he said, "I better hand you over to top management." So she said, "I'm really proud of you, Ronan." I said, "Thanks, ma'am, but I'm even more delighted you're not on drugs." I said, "God, ma'am, you have little faith." She said, "It is all to do with faith. Have you seen the indentation in my knees?" I've also realised something else. We cannot become what we need to be by remaining the way we are. Change is painful, but ever needful. But the curious paradox about change is when you can accept yourself as who you are and your shape and the beauties, then you can make that change. And then you can allow others see the change in you. And then you can say to them, "How about going through the same process?" It's truly amazing. Certainly my road through this life has had a couple of real twists. And yes, I have been challenged. Nature cannot be tricked or cheated. She will only give up of your struggles when you've paid her the price. And many years ago, I had a bad fall from a horse and I fractured some facial bones, which at the time I had no idea. And this came back to haunt me when I was about 3 years into my singing career. So once again, I turned to my father and asked, "Dad, what will I do?" And he said, "Ronan, you need nature to let you heal." So in 1996, I went and opened up my sports injury clinic in Kilkenny, where I live. And on March 4th, I had 2 patients. One I had seen every day of my life, my father, and another man I had never seen before. Now, you've got to understand one thing about my father. He loved engaging in conversation. He told the most amazing stories and never let the truth get in the way of the best of them. So they were always different. On the second day, we had 6 patients, and he was more polite than any patient had ever recognised. He let them all go ahead of him. On the Friday, we had 9 patients. And as we were going home, I said, "Dad, any harm in asking you why you came in and stayed in the waiting room?" "Oh," he said, "Ro, I wanted to make up the numbers for you." I said, "All right." He said, "Listen, when I go to a doctor," he said, "and I go into the waiting room, if he doesn't have any patients, I don't think he's any good. So I wanted your patients to know that you had a patient so that you were already on the mark." I said, "That's good psychology." He said, "But I had one concern." I said, "What's that?" "Well, if the fella on Wednesday came back on Thursday and saw me there, he'd realise you hadn't cured either of us." I said, "Thank God that didn't happen." He said, "No, it didn't." Well, by late 1997, my voice started to come back to its strength. My father's health started deteriorating quite significantly. And for some strange reason, I felt both of us were giving back to nature. On March 4th, 1998, I sung for the first time. I sung at his funeral. Now, you have to understand, when somebody loves you as much as this man loved me, you never really lose his spirit. He's always there with you. Is it a tragedy? Yes. Is it a loss? Desperate. But you still have him. My mother, you would think that the man above would deal a fair deck of cards. For 17 years, she fought Alzheimer's. So she never really witnessed the great things that she had made possible for me. And I figured, even though I stand in front of you today as a doctor, medicine doesn't have all the answers. And it's very difficult sometimes to explain to your siblings how to treat someone, how to look after them, how to try and get a medicine that will stop this ravaging of the brain. But you can't. So I came up with a very simple explanation. My mother was a strong, powerful woman and could run this country. She could run any country. But if you got in her way, you were in trouble. So God, in his infinite wisdom, decided to return her to her childlike state. So she got a first-class ticket up. Simple explanation? Yes. Did it work? It worked for 3 kids. I became part of the Irish Tenors that you saw on the clip in 1998. I won that competition in 1994, Go For It. One of the judges at that competition rang me up and said, would you like to be part of the Irish Tenors? I said, absolutely. Do you know anybody else that would? Only in Ireland. But it all worked. It all happened and it was great. The group of doctors who not only gave me my medical career, also supported me 100% in my musical strives. They came together, all 15 consultants, and sent me to the Royal Opera School. It was an amazing experience. So today I stand in front of you, I wear 2 hats. I wear the small medical cap, and I wear the top hat and tails, and sing to people all over the world. But I want to share with you something else. I thought when I started singing first, move over Pavarotti, the fat man cometh. And I started singing a lot of opera. And the first role I was given was to play Pinkerton in Madame a Butterfly. Now, this opera was written by Puccini, beautiful opera. And in this opera, I played Pinkerton, who was an American lieutenant who fell in love with a Japanese girl called Chocho-san, or Butterfly. In the final act of this wonderful opera, Chocho-san lies center stage. She has died. And Pinkerton is to come in to caress her. I was a little late in my entry because I was so delighted I got through the opera without too many mistakes. I started chatting up the course. See, you know, was there any opportunity for a later opportunity, if you get my drift, as one does. So the stage manager shouted, Tynan, you're on. So I did Chariots of Fire. I ran to her. And as I was coming into the stage, there was a small little lip which I had not seen. I didn't caress her. I landed on her. My butterfly was about 5 foot and 110 pounds. And when I landed on her, all you could hear is, this was not a cry of passion. This was Sacred Heart, my chest. And I whispered, I'm so sorry. And the stage manager didn't realize his mic was open to the audience. And he said, well, if she's not dead, she surely is now. Whereupon the audience reacted with kind of humor and applause. I tell you these stories because it's important to remember that we can all make mistakes in our careers. The next one was a little different. I won a competition in England, and the prize was to do an opera with the Halle Orchestra in England, and it was an operetta called Land of Smiles, Franz Lehár. This time, I was accompanied by a very fine, well-built, Wagnerian-sized soprano. She was huge, and I'm big, and she was big too. She wore a mustard dress. There was reams of material in this gown that would have covered 8 or 9 windows. And she had a long train running from behind. They had decided to set up a beautiful Viennese background, palatial background. And they started us from a stairs at the back of the theatre coming centre. The stairs was narrow. There wasn't a lot of room for 2 big people. And as I'm getting on the stage with the stairs with her, the guy who was doing the scenery says, good luck, mate. And I knew that was the kiss of death. I knew I was in trouble. We started, the overture started, the conductor started. We're coming around four steps. There's the cute bend. And you know the way racehorses lean in on you? You know, they lean into the rail. Well, she kind of leaned in on me. And the banister was about here, so I felt myself moving, so I threw her out. So she took off about five steps ahead of me. But what I didn't realise was my left foot was on her train. She got about to the fifth step and there was a... And behold, I saw a vision. I figured out what the train was for. It was huge. Next minute there was a crash. The fella in the scenery was roaring laughing and he fell off the ladder. The conductor kind of... Now, we haven't even started to sing. So the perspiration is pouring out of me. I pick up the train and I push it into her. Unfortunately, she hadn't heard of Velcro. She had tacked the train with pins. So when I jabbed it in, she horsed another couple of steps. The song I had to sing to her at that moment was, "Love, what has given me this magic power?" There was no love, there was no magic, and I had lost the power. Now you would hope that that would end the faux pas of that opera, but it didn't. The next part of this wonderful extravaganza was I was to go to stage right and say, imagine that this is the orchestral pit. And as I'm there, I'm to sit down over the pit, turn towards her, and express my undying love. Now I'm hanging out and the celli are playing this side. So we came to Shine Through My Dreams. And the producer said, "Oh, Ronan, I want you to feel so emancipated and just let your love go. Let everything go." Well, I let everything go and the right leg fell into the pit. This is a very different type of opera. Now, as you know, the English are a very discerning audience. There was an unearthly silence when this happened. And I waved to everybody, and then I said to the cellist, "Can you hand me up my leg?" And he was completely ashen in colour. I said, "Can you hand me up my leg?" Nothing. So I said, "Give me up my leg!" Sorry for being a little abrupt. So I picked the leg up. Now, normally to put the leg on, you have to drop the pants, but I didn't think that was a good idea. So I kind of pushed everything in, went stage right, and there was the producer right in the corner, bawling her eyes out. And I looked at her and said, "What's wrong with you? I'm having a nightmare out here." And all she could say to me was, "How much more of you can fall apart?" The reason I tell you these stories, everyone at some stage or other would like to turn the clock back and undo the mistakes of the past. But that's neither possible or desirable, so don't waste your time wondering what might have been. Those mistakes we make are quite valuable in the lessons they teach us. Of course, there's one most important factor to this, provided you're a person that can learn from them. Needless to say, I've had other experiences in opera which have been a little similar, but they had to be censored. One thing I feel is very important. My experiences have reinforced a belief I hold dear. Success is a team effort. It's like a family. Two people meet, that's the beginning. By keeping together, there is the progress. And by working together, there is success. All the above apply to this great company, Alltech. You are a family. You keep together. You work together. And you stay together. Sometimes you encourage, and sometimes you yourself are encouraged. My hope is that you will remember some part of my life's struggle when you have to throw the discus of life that little bit harder. It's important to remember the people you meet along the way, the believers, the encouragers. Belief and encouragement are the matches which light the candle of achievement, and I'm walking proof of that. There's one quote which I feel epitomizes my faith and my belief. Faith is the bird that feels the light and sings while the dawn is still dark. My hope for you this very day is that you will feel this light and truly sing your song of success before the dawn of another day. It's been a great pleasure to speak with you. Now I would like to refer back to the song about Shrek. I auditioned with this song. It's called Hallelujah. It was written by Leonard Cohen. Did I get the job? No. But I got to the last five. And the only reason that I didn't get the job was I was honest enough to know and say to them, I don't think I can do 7 days of shows in five. Sometimes you have to be honest. But by being honest, there are great rewards. Thanks a lot. Can you turn up the music in the monitor, please?
I heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do ya? It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor four, the major lift, the baffled king composing Alleluia, 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 Alleluia. Maybe I've been here before, I know this room, I walk this floor, I used to live alone before I knew you.
Yeah, baby.
I see your flag on the marble arch. Love is not a victory march, it's cold, but it's a broken Alleluia.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.